There's a scripture in the book of Luke 4. It says this: when Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding regions, it says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Can you see him now with the scrolls in his hand, standing up and the Spirit of God being up on him in a major way? And he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is what it says. And I can imagine Jesus, because he's full of the Holy Spirit and boldness is upon him. And it's something about when the presence of God is with you, there's a boldness that accompanies it. And I could see him now. Now, this is me paraphrasing. I mean, this is me not paraphrasing, but saying it like he would say. I'm acting it out. He reads it like this, and they have it on the screen. I hope they do. Okay, it simply says this. He would say it like this, boldly in front of everybody. They're giving him the scrolls. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. People begin looking at, what is wrong with Jesus? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He was like booming. And people were looking like, uh-oh, what has Jesus been drinking? Or what has he been smoking? Who does he think he is? You know how people talk. And they be saying that, like, is he really? And then he silences everybody, because the Bible says, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him, and he began to say to them, he says to them, this is the gist of his message. He says to them in a bold way. it's an eight word sermon. He says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Then he closes the book and sits down, drops the mic. Bam, it's over. And the people were scratching their heads saying, are you serious? Did you hear what he just did? He says that he has been sent, and the anointing is upon him to do what the prophet said 61 years ago. I mean, 60 in Isaiah 61. And he's going to be the one doing the work. Can you believe this? Then we're whispering to each other and said, isn't this Joseph's son? But can I let you know that God knows how to use you regardless of what neighborhood you grew up in? Well, I want to talk about today the power of the Spirit. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your presence being here. I thank you for someone today placing a demand upon your anointing. I thank you, God, that you pour out upon us. Pour out upon us this day, God. Speak to us. Speak through us. God, someone's life depends upon it even today, God. Father, we're so serious about our walk with you. We just want to draw closer to you. We didn't come to see who was here. Didn't come to go through the motions, God. But we need you, Lord. In fact, we're at the place where we can't do without you. Shout it with me. I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. And guess what? He hears our voice. He hears our cry. So, Father, speak to us and through us. And we've already made up in our minds that our answer to you is yes, Lord. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name, and we say amen. Take a moment to give me your best praise right where you are. Give me your best praise. We worship you, God. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When I think of this passage and I think about the very fact that I believe that, and I've been sensing a fresh wave of God's anointing in this house. I've been sensing it with the worship, and that's many times where it begins, with prayer behind the scenes. And it's a good thing to be in a church that's praying, that's seeking God and that's worshiping God. The attention and the focus is upon him and not on a whole lot of other stuff. Because we need to be aware because of the things that are taking place and the things that we'll be facing. I believe that God is affirming us through the word oftentimes and sometimes through the song. He's affirming us. Why? Because before Jesus went on the mission, on his public mission, he was affirmed by God. The Bible says he was baptized by John the Baptist. He prayed and heaven was opened, and a voice comes from the sky after a dove in bodily form comes down. The Spirit of God, like a dove, sits upon him in bodily form and says, "This is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased, who brings me great joy." Who wouldn't like to hear that before you go on a missions trip? Who wouldn't like to hear that before you minister? So when I think of Jesus going to minister, to public ministry, and being sent off by God the Father, and the Spirit of God being upon him, I see us. I see the people of God, you and me, because we can't do ministry without God sending us and God anointing us and equipping us with everything we need. Are you with me? And Jesus came with a mission. He was no doubt about it. That's actually my first point. It just says Jesus was on a mission. Say it with me. Jesus was on a mission. And he was on a mission of love. Why do you say a mission of love? Because the scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but do what? Have." So it was about the love that he came. And I tell you what, our world was challenging. Our world was... Bless me, she's on the front row saying, "Jesus is on a mission." Hallelujah. Yeah, so that's good. That's all right. Hallelujah. So he came to express his love by giving his life because man was in trouble. And when I love this passage, because the Bible lets us know that when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost were having a conversation in heaven and they were looking for someone to go and to pay the price for man because man was messed up. And Jesus himself, because he loved man so much, says, "Prepare me a body, I'll go down." That's a beautiful picture to me. Why? He was coming with mission, a mission of love in mind. Why did we need a Savior? If I would look at it today, I would say that because of the mass shootings that are taking place. They're shooting in concert halls. They're shooting in festivals. There's mass shootings in our school. And just the other day, I saw that they had a mass shooting at Walmart, of all places. Like, what y'all shooting at Walmart for, right? Bars and shopping malls. And even in Hong Kong, and I thought they had a whole lot of restraint, but even in Hong Kong, they are doing protests and fighting. I was like saying, I thought it was, you know how sometimes you think it's just in your neighborhoods? I don't know about you, but I believe that the Lord is soon to come again. All the stuff that is facing the world, that's why the body of Christ, if there's a time that we need to shine, the time is now. Now is not the time to look cute. Now is not the time to cower down. Now is not the time to back out. But now is the time to rise up, rise and shine, and give God the glory, because we are the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. How many of you all are ready to rise up? Somebody give God a praise in this place. Jesus is on a mission of love, and he wanted to show his love. And some say, well, he came to, you know, do this and do that. But the Bible says he did not come to condemn the world, because the world was condemned already. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I looked at what else Jesus came for. He came to destroy the work of the enemy. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to be salt and light in this world. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And I want you to know that God has called us, his hands and his feet, to rise up and take our place. Are you with me today? Can I share this with you, that oftentimes, say it like this, that our mission can seem overwhelming. And someone was telling me the other day, they were like saying, man, the church needs to do more. The church needs to rise up and be the church. And they wasn't even saved, but they knew what the church was supposed to be doing. These folks shooting up in the houses, and these kids don't go to school. The church, they said, church need to rise up, need to be where they are. And I'm thinking, like, what church do you attend? But they knew what the church was supposed to do. And in fact, one scripture talks about it. It says that the whole earth is standing waiting for the sons of God to arise. You know, the earth is waiting for us to step, take our places. And sometimes it sounds like a huge undertaking, and it can be overwhelming if we're not careful. Our mission can seem overwhelming if we focus on the enemy instead of on the power that God has given us. That's my next point. Very, very important. Let me say it one more time. If we focus only on our enemy instead of the power that God has given us, it'll seem overwhelming. And I don't know about you, but man, lately I've been in spiritual warfare. Am I by myself? Man, this has happened over here and something's happened over there, and I'm recognizing there is an enemy. Now, not all of it is the devil. Some of it is because we live in a fallen world. Are you with me today? But you've got to recognize that, man, you are in a battle. And the battle starts, to be truthful, you know, between your ears. Let me make it more clear. Somebody said, between my ears. The battlefield is a mind. Jesus shows us how to operate in victory when it comes to dealing with the attack. Why do you say that? Well, God speaks to Jesus and says, "You are my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased." Jesus was affirmed. There was a man that was struggling with life, if you will. He had been dealing with drinking and drugs and so forth and so on, but he had gifts and talents. And when I think about the gifts and talents that he had, I asked him, I said, "Hey, why don't you be a part of what we're doing here?" And we began to work together, and he didn't accomplish one of the things, and I was like, "Hey, it's okay." Then he says something to me that I won't forget. He says, "Pastor Doss, thank you for believing in me." And I thought about that. I thought about all the breakdowns and all the hurts and the times that he's fallen short. Oftentimes, we don't even believe in ourselves. Are you with me today? Oftentimes, we don't believe that we can, and we need to be affirmed and say, "You are my beloved son, and I'm pleased in you. You are son, regardless of what the mistakes you made, you are still lovable. You are still usable. God still wants to get the glory out of your life. I don't care what it looks like." He looked at me and said, "Thank you for believing in me." We have to continue to believe in folks even sometimes when they don't believe in themselves. We have to speak over our children, even when sometimes they struggle with having faith that they can be what God said they can be and walk in what God has called them to walk in. Are you with me today? I believe it. Can I just let you know I believe in you? I know God's got great things for you. I know God's hand is upon your life. I know he's going to turn some things around in your life, and then he's going to get the glory out of it, and you're going to give testimony of how God did it when you couldn't do it yourself. Somebody give him praise in this house. Thank you, God. Because the enemy is going to try to make you question yourself. Because remember, the first temptation wasn't turn the stone to bread. Most preachers preach it. The first temptation was, you know, if you be the son of God, turn this stone to bread. The first temptation was, if you be the son of God. That's the first temptation, because the temptation was to question who he knew he was. How many of you have ever questioned who you knew you were because of what the enemy said about you? You have to battle that stuff. Because if you allow that battle in the mind, if you allow that battle to take up stronghold, it'll hold you and then go from your mind to your heart. And you'll walk around defeated like, "Oh, woe is me. He'll never use me again." You've got to take authority like Jesus did. "For it is written." This is what God's word says about it. Are you with me today? Somebody needs this, because you've been battling this week. The devil been trying to tell you you ain't this and ain't going to accomplish and not going to amount to anything. But you tell the devil he is a liar, because you are called, you are chosen, you are anointed to do the very work in the plan of God. And you've got to believe that. So sometimes I have to look in the mirror and tell myself, before the foundation of the world, God calls you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are called, equipped, qualified, and anointed to go forth and do what God has called you to do. We, the body of Christ, we must know who we are. Because twice the enemy came to him. Twice he said, if you be the Son of God. And some people think you're disqualified from being the Son of God because you are sons and daughters of God because you made a mistake. Oh, that is such a lie. Let me bring a scenario. I said a scenario earlier today. I'd like to do a different one since I was using myself as an example today. I said that my last name is Doss, and my dad, he's Jerry Doss, and my son is Jerry Doss, my first one, and the rest of them, Corbin's middle name is Wayne, that's my middle name. So I try to put it out there because just because I mess up, and I know I got in trouble in school, and, you know, wouldn't be cool for him to say, well, you messed up. My dad comes in, you messed up, Jerry Wayne. So guess what? You know, you're not a Doss anymore. Don't work like that. You know, I am a Doss regardless of what I did. I may have messed up, but I'm still a Doss because I'm your son. Are you with me today? I am from your seed. Whether you like it or not, I am yours. And you cannot unborn me because I am born. Are you with me today? We may mess up, but we're still sons and daughters of God. And that's why I sent Jesus to die and put us back in right relationship. Somebody give God a good praise in this house. Woo! So it's very important. It's very important that when things seem overwhelming, that we take our eyes off the enemy, because certain things, you know, that we focus and we make the enemy bigger than what he really is. Because the enemy is defeated. Can I get a witness? Do you all believe that? He's a defeated foe. He's under my feet. He was defeated. Now, one time we get this is during Easter, because everybody's pumped up. God defeated. Jesus defeated the enemy. The enemy is defeated. And then we walk in the victory. But then after it's over, we be like, I don't know. You need to know that the enemy is defeated. Can I get a witness? Man, we'd be so loud on Easter Sunday and Palm Sunday. I mean, we'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You need to carry that energy all through the year when the enemy is bothering you. Yeah, yeah, you are defeated. Look how Jesus walks in it. The enemy comes to him with temptation. He says, for it is written. Comes to him again. He says, for it is written. You shouldn't tempt the Lord thy God. And then look what the enemy says at the end of it. And I love this passage because the enemy, the Bible says that the enemy departed from him for a more opportune time. What is a more opportune time? When you're not praying? He says, I can't penetrate you now, Jesus. You're full of the word. I can't penetrate you. You just came off of a 40-day fast. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. I can't penetrate you because your father just spoke over you and said that you are his beloved son whom he's well pleased, and you're full of boast and you're full of the Holy Spirit because you return like that. I can't penetrate you right now. Can I let you know, folks, that if you want the enemy to get out of your face, if you locked into God, if you know who you are, you know whose you are, you have the anointing of God upon you, he's got to get out of your way for a more opportune time. Man, oh man. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I wish I could give you an example. When you are in place, man, the devil can't penetrate. When you're in place, how did David mess up? Well, the most of the men were out to war. So David was out of place. So he's at home messing around. And all of a sudden, he's happened to be out there knowing what's going on. If you had been where you're supposed to be, can I preach today? I believe there's several people of God that are supposed to be prayer warriors that aren't praying. I'm going to preach today. There's some worshipers that are supposed to be worshiping, but they're not worshiping. There's some evangelists that are supposed to be evangelizing, but they're not doing their job. And then you wonder why you're in a situation that Bathsheba's always around. When you walk in what God has called you to walk in, the enemy cannot penetrate that. Why? Because he can't get through the wall that's around you. Because you're where you're supposed to be. Someone sang a song and said, the safest place in the whole wide world is in the very will of God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me, right? Somebody give him a praise right in the house. He's worthy of it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Our mission can seem overwhelming if we focus on the enemy instead of the power that God has given us. Now, when we begin to focus on the power that God has given us, please follow this and lean in just for a couple of minutes. You know, God has given you everything you need to be successful. Will you say that God has given me everything I need for success? And you need to walk in that. When we begin to focus on everything else but on what God has given us, then we begin to make our enemy big and our challenges big. And God says, no. I've given you everything for success. In fact, I've won the battle for you. All you've got to do is walk in that. Are you with me? The psalmist was feeling some kind of way one day, and he says, and when I am overwhelmed, he says, you alone know the way I should turn. He says, wherever I go, he says, Okay, that is not the verse. He says, wherever I go, you set traps for me. Talking about his enemy. So when he begins to focus on the enemy, it becomes a problem. And then this next verse, he says this. He says in this 61 and 2, he says, from the ends of the earth, I will cry unto you. Why? When my heart is overwhelmed, I just ask you to lead me to the rock that's higher than I. How many of you all know that when things look big, things look insurmountable, looks like you cannot come out of this, and then all you got to do is say, well, take me to the rock that's higher than I am. I can't fix it. I can't work it out. But I know somebody that can work it out. Somebody give him a praise in this house. Give him a real shout. Hallelujah. I was feeling some kind of way at the house one particular day. And, Jita wasn't there. The boys weren't there. And I got to, thinking about, the Bible talks about rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Make your moderation known unto him because the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in all things in prayer and supplication. I've been just really thinking about some of those things. And then I began to think about the song they were singing today about dancing in the Lord and dancing in the Spirit. And I wasn't feeling like dancing. Because sometimes you dance when you feel like dancing. Well, I wasn't feel like dancing. But I saw that sometimes you've got to put your body in action and give God praise even when you don't feel like it. So wasn't nobody around. Jita wasn't there. And I made sure I looked out the windows, make sure nobody wasn't scoping me out because they might thought I was crazy. The boys wasn't there, no grandkids. And I just began to dance in the Spirit. I just began to give God glory. And it's not like I have a whole lot of rhythm. It's not like I know how to dance because I couldn't dance before I got saved, really. I could do the bump and maybe the double bump. It's about it. So I'm learning how to just jump in the Spirit. And I was just kind of twirling. And man, it's something about the Spirit of God that joy came. When you begin to focus your attention upon him and bless his name in the midst of everything that's going on, it seems like these problems have to drop powerless behind you. Why? Because your problems aren't as big as your God. Because God is bigger than any situation. Cancer has to drop powerless behind you. High blood pressure has to drop powerless behind you. Your bills and stuff don't matter. I'm giving you praise, God, because you're worthy of the praise. Somebody give him a shout in this house because he is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I begin to make my God bigger than my enemy. People talk all that stuff, man. The devil sure is busy. God is more busy than the devil. Hallelujah. The devil is powerful. The devil is defeated. Can I get a witness? The battle is taking place in your mind. When you get it in your mind that the devil is defeated and you are victorious, you walk in power. You've got God's anointing upon your life. Somebody bless him one more time. Let me get back into this word. Do me one favor. Give one person a high five and say, the devil's defeated. Let them know you're victorious. Shout it, you're victorious. They need to hear that. They need to hear that. Then walk like you're victorious. Talk like you're victorious. I didn't say you wasn't going through a challenge. I didn't say you wasn't going through all kind of stuff. I just said you're victorious and the devil is defeated. And when he messes with you, that's only because you let him get in your head and don't let it go from your head to your heart. If you win the battle of the head, next thing you know, it's to the heart, and you wonder why you're wondering, oh, what's wrong with you? Oh. What's wrong with you, man? The devil. Don't be giving up. That's why I don't like the counsel much, because people say that I am insensitive. But why would I spend my day listening to you talk about the devil? It'll make no sense. Come to my office and tell them, well, you know, no, the devil's defeated. Let's set that in order right now. Let's stand on that fact right now. He is not your problem. Man, I'm preaching good today. My God. He is defeated. When the Bible says, and this is not on my notes, when the Bible says fight the good fight of faith, He's not talking about you. You say, I'm coming against you, devil. No, He's defeated. The fight of faith is on the inside of you. That you are who God says you are. That you have what God says you have. That you can do what God says. That's the fight of faith. Are y'all with me today? Give Him one more shout. He's God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Can I share this with you when we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit? Jesus did not undertake ministry in His own power. He did not do ministry in His own power. It's important for us to remember that. And that's point number three. And in fact, in John 5 and 30, it says this, and this is a good place to take a note. He says, I can do of myself nothing. The Bible says that He said He can do nothing of Himself. It's important for us to recognize that if Jesus didn't do it by Himself, well, what you doing trying it? You know, if Jesus says of myself, I can do nothing, and I looked up nothing in the Greek, and nothing means nothing. Just wanted to let you know. And He was Jesus Himself. If He came down and says, that's why the Bible says, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit came upon Him like a dove. It makes a difference. That's why it says, and God anointed Jesus. Thank you, Father. Can I let you know, folks, that if our church doesn't embrace the Holy Spirit, all we are is going through the motions. If our church doesn't depend upon the Holy Spirit operating on the inside of us, we can sing, but it has no power. We can preach, but strongholds won't be broken. We can play instruments, but demons won't leave. Why? Because you don't have the anointing upon your life. Everything we do, we've got to say, God, I need your anointing. Will you just help me out and say, Lord, anoint us again. If you really believe it, give Him a praise in this house. We need your anointing, God. Thank you, God. Jesus didn't undertake ministry in His own power, because when you look at the things that we are faced with, folks, you can't do it in your own strength. You know, you can't fix the problems with the school system. You can't fix the problem with your marriage. You can't do, you say, well, go to a good counselor. No, a good counselor can't do what you need. Can I preach today? You can go to a doctor and say, well, we need the doctor. And thank God for doctors. But sometimes doctors can only do so much. But I know a God that we call Him Dr. Jesus that knows how to touch any one of your situations. Can I get a good amen in the house? Some of us need to, you know, we say, well, I need to go to a financial counselor. Financial counselor is good. But I know someone that knows how to take two fish and five loaves and feed thousands. I know someone that knows how to take you to the fish's mouth and you can pay your taxes from the fish's mouth. He's a Jesus, and we need to recognize that He can do all things. And when He anoints us, His power, the Holy Spirit being upon us, we can accomplish great things. Are you with me today? How many of you all need His anointing today? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You need His anointing if you drive in the van ministry. You need His anointing if you over the youth ministry. Hallelujah. You really need His anointing. To destroy some yokes. How to lift some heavy burdens. So my next point is simple. It just says we can't successfully do the work of the ministry in our own power. We just can't do it. And to be truthful, folks, I've been guilty of that. I've been trying to do the work of the ministry in my own strength. And how many of you know that's frustrating? It will wear you out. You will be so tired. You won't want to see nobody, say nothing to nobody, got a bad attitude. You know, you just why? You're trying to do it in your own power. You can't even live, you know, married. Really, I'm successfully in your own power. Any married folks in the house that would dare say amen? You can't raise them hard. I mean, the kids. You need Jesus. You do. Mom had 9 of them. Now I know why she prayed so much. She said, Wayne, she'd call me sometimes and say, Wayne, how you doing? I'm praying for you today. And she says, I said, yeah, Mom, I need it. She said, I could feel. And she began, sometimes God would give her exactly what I'm going through. Know exactly what I'm going. I said, man, you really in the spirit. How many of you all know that we need to depend upon the Holy Spirit, the supernatural presence of God, and not our own hands? When this sings a song, not by power nor by might, we're serious about that. God, we need you, God. Take the spirit out of the church and you have a dead church. I will not be satisfied pastoring a church that does not depend upon the Holy Spirit, the operation of the Holy Spirit. We as a body of Christ need to invite him and say, have your way. Anoint us with your presence, God. We want you, God. Somebody bless him right now, right where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We can't successfully do the work of the ministry in our own power, no doubt about it. John 15 and 5 says this. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, that's what we want. Bear much fruit. How do you want to bear fruit? I gotta abide in you, and you have to abide in me. He says, for without me, you can do what? Amen. Without me, you can do. How many want to live that type of life? God, you go into a meeting. It's not because you got all the words down and you know what to say. God had to check me because I was going to meet. Sometimes you know you're going to do an argument, and you're going to tell them what all you're going to say. Any of y'all been like that? Uh-huh. This is how we're going to do this. We got this. If he say this, I'm going to say this. If he say this, I'm going to say this. God says, don't even do that. Just go in. You open your mouth, I'll speak through you. And most of the time, you are not going to say what he told you to say. Because you're going to fight and combat. Same way with your spouse trying to get along. Okay, I know how to deal with this. And especially if you've been, I'm going to get in trouble. Ah, no, I better not say it. Holy Spirit said, I better not say it. Hallelujah. And what happens is, see, what happened was, is that we get in trouble because we want to tell them off and say what we want to say. God is less concerned about your ego and telling people off. He doesn't care about your ego. Rather, he wants you to submit unto him and say, you know, God, your will be done. I forgive them even before they mess up. I release them even though they didn't do me right. I don't have to get it straight. I don't have to make everybody think that I'm okay. It's okay if they don't think that. Long as God, my focus and my attention upon you, you know how to turn my darkness into day. You know how to open doors that no man can shut. Are you with me today? Y'all with me today? So you don't have to win that argument. Y'all got quiet on that. My last point. If Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, we too need the Holy Spirit today. Let me say it one more time. If Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and he was, we too need the Holy Spirit today. Thank you, God. Here's a verse. Acts 10 and 38. You can stand on your feet. It says this. It says, do you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth? What did he do? God did what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. I'm going to read it one more time. I know they don't have it on the screen, but will you at least listen and lean in for 1 minute? And we know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. What did God do? With the Holy Spirit and with what? Facing what we're facing, we can't face it in our own strength. It's like trying to put out a major fire with a water gun. And then if we come around and say, well, you know, I've been in this thing for a long time. I kind of know a little bit about it. And when I see what God has called us to, I say, God, we need your anointing. Our church needs your anointing. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us. Father, we don't want to go through the emotion, just through the motions. But God, we really want you. Thank you, God. Perhaps someone is watching online, and can I let you know that the Holy Spirit will minister to you right where you are. Thank you, Holy Ghost. But I also want to let you know that there was such a presence this morning, a deposit made in this atmosphere. And people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and others were Spirit-filled. What does that mean? That they were led by the Holy Spirit, and other baptized, meaning actually emerged, just like we baptize in water. They was emerged in the Spirit. And I want you to know that that's for you today. Are you with me today? Someone said, Pastor, I don't feel comfortable with that. Man, it's not that you have to understand it, but you have to yield to him. Otherwise, you'll be on the periphery all of your life. And the Bible says, the day you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Don't say, well, I don't want to know. I don't want to step in that. No, I tell you what, he is a person. He's a gentleman. Won't force himself on you. It'll be the best experience you've ever had. Thank you, God. In fact, why don't you all meet me on the altar as we pray. Father, thank you so much. We give you the glory, God. We give you the praise. We honor you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I'm depending upon you now, God, because we need you, God. We need an impartation. We need a supernatural filling of your Spirit, God. If we just had some hungry people, can I share with you that the woman with the issue of blood, you know, she pressed through a crowd. She got through all the people that were around. Why? Because she was hungry. The Bible says that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Our church has to have a hunger. In other words, saying, God, we want you. We want you in our lives. He's not going to come and permeate your house if you don't want him at the house. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Will you take a minute just to press in right now where you are, just in your own way? I don't know what you may want to say to him, but it's you and him right now in the name of Jesus. God is lining us up, setting the atmosphere for miracles, signs, and wonders. And the enemy is defeated in your house. For the next 21 days, you're going to be praying and interceding. God's going to be answering prayer. You all believe what I'm saying? Word of God is coming forth. Strongholds are going to be broken in the name of Jesus. There's a new prayer that's being released in your heart. There's something that's supernatural that's going to be flowing on the inside of you. I mean, it's even this hunger is growing and building in the name of Jesus. Gifts are going to be released. The gifts that he's put in you, there's going to be a stirring and a releasing of those gifts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. 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 Thank you, Lord. Do you all sense his presence, or is it just me? Come on, shout right where you are and give him some praise in this place. Glory to your name, Jesus. 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 The one that's been praying for your neighborhood. Claim that neighborhood in boldness. Walk through that neighborhood. Prophesy over that neighborhood in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. Thank you, God, for supernatural revival in this house and within us, God. May your fire burn on the inside of us. May the hunger grow. May we place a demand on your anointing. And may you say that I felt virtue leave my body because someone wanted their healing. Father, we seek your will, your plan, your purpose. Thank you, God. While you're pressing in and while the presence and the Holy Spirit is even speaking to you, this next 21, you know the church is going to be open. Here's the thing that I ask you to do, and some of you say, I can't get that time. That doesn't matter. You can pray at home or on your job, whatever the case might be. But here's what I ask that you do. One, ask, that's pray. Two, receive, that's receive by faith. You don't have to wait till you see it, but when you ask, you believe that you receive when you pray. Did you get that? Ask, receive, and then listen, because you'll be spiritually more sensitive and acute and keen to what the Spirit is saying. Why? Because you're fasting and seeking God's will. So you will hear what he is saying, and then you believe and obey. Thank you, God. Ask, receive by faith. And then I ask that you just listen and hear what he's got to say. Then believe it and be obedient to it. I believe that Springfield's going to change. I believe that neighborhoods are going to change. I believe that our nation will change. Why? Something happens when people begin to pray. And God is returning us to a place of prayer. And Father, I give you glory, for your anointing is upon us. And Father, we receive what you are saying today. Come on, let's give him one more praise in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Someone may not be saved and you want to give your heart to God today. Someone else may want to dedicate your life to God. Someone else may want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Will our ministers and elders, will you raise your hand so people can see who you are? They've been praying for you. Ministers, elders, deacons, those that operate in the gifts. You may want someone to lay hands upon you and receive today. The Bible says, the day you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. This is the day. This is the day. So now, some of us will leave, but others will linger, and some will just be on the altar because God is speaking to you. And when he speaks, you just say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears you. You may be driving and he begins to speak to you. Thank you, God. You may just be cooking and he begins to speak to you. You may be in the midst of a crowd. And then you ask everybody else, did you hear that? They say, what? And then God speaks to you. No, I'm talking to you. And know that when he speaks to you, you're privileged. You're chosen. Why? Because he wants your attention. Clear out some clutter this week. Now may the grace of God be with you today and forevermore. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he give you shalom. We ask it in Jesus' name. We say amen. Now give God your best praise right where you are.